Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is a non-denominational, non-sectarian program designed to bring you the answers from the pages of your Bible for today's Christian living. Do you believe in Jesus? There are millions of people who are professing Christians and would tell you, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But what does it really mean from the pages of the Bible to believe in Jesus? How much do you believe in Jesus? What are you willing to do for Jesus Christ? How are you willing to live your life once you have accepted Jesus Christ? And there are a lot of people who say, well, the only thing you need to do is believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is all that there is to it. Well, could there be more to believing in God? Could there be more to believing in Jesus Christ than just simply saying, I believe in Jesus Christ? Well, let's look into the pages of the Bible and see what God has to tell us. And yes, we'll even see what Jesus has to say to us if you believe in Him. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter is a very interesting place to begin because it starts with belief, because belief and faith run almost hand in hand, because if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and if you believe in God, then you also have to have faith in Him. And so we find in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, or we can say without belief in God, it is impossible to please Him. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? And if you do, do you follow the words of God? Do you really believe what Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God? Do we really live that way? Do we really conduct our lives in such a way that we can say we are striving to live by every word of God? And so without the proper kind of belief, and without the proper kind of understanding of God, could it be that there would be such a thing as vain Christianity, or that is empty, hollow Christianity, which will have no consequence, which is not of God, which is not what Jesus said? Well, I think we need to consider perhaps that could happen. I think we need to look around and realize that in many cases of people who profess and believe in Christianity, that this has happened in their lives. Why is that so? Why do these things happen? Well, let's see what the Bible shows in meaning to believe in Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, continuing now, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. That means must believe that He exists. And in believing that God exists, in believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, are we not also required to believe what God says? Are we not also required to follow what Jesus has said? Yes, we are. The Bible shows that very clearly. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. So we see right here very clearly how faith and belief go hand in hand. It's like hand in a glove. They both go together. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know, many times in our view and perspective of religion, we think somehow God is seeking us. We think somehow that God is trying to corner us and trap us. But it's the other way around. God is waiting for us to seek Him. Are we seeking God? Are we seeking God in everything that we do, in every phase and facet of our lives? And are we diligently seeking to do so? Well, it says unless we are doing that, then it's impossible to please Him. Does your life please God? Do your thoughts please God? Are we headed in the right direction toward God? Or is God sort of an adjunct to our life that is something to hang on to just in time of distress? What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? What does it mean to believe in God? Well, Jesus gave a parable concerning that, showing that it has much more to do than just saying, well, I profess with my lips and take Jesus into my heart, therefore I am saved. Well, that isn't exactly the way that the Bible shows that salvation comes. Now, that may be a way to start, but once you start the race, how do you finish? Do you sit on the sidelines and say, well, I don't have to run anymore, I don't have to walk anymore, I don't have to overcome anymore, there's nothing more for me to do except just believe? Well, wouldn't it be silly if you were running a race and you got up to the starting line, you were all poised to run, the gun sounded, and as soon as the gun sounded, you ran over and sat on the sidelines and said, well, that's it. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? But sometimes if we get analogies like this and understand, we can see that there is certainly a lot more to the logic and the Word of God. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21 and verse 28. And here's a parable that Jesus gave because he wanted to know what those crowds of people that were following him thought. And he was sort of being trapped on this occasion by some of the scribes and Pharisees, and they were the ones who said, oh, yes, we're doing the will of God. Oh, yes, we have the commandments of God. Oh, yes, we are doing what is right. But Jesus was very clear in showing that even the works that they had, without the belief, without the faith, without the kindness and love that should be there, that they weren't doing the will of God. Matthew 21 and verse 28, he says, what do you think? So let's ask ourselves this question as we go along. What do we think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. Now, there are a lot of people who at least have the honesty of saying, well, I won't do it. I won't be hypocritical and pretentious. I won't say I will do one thing and turn around and do something else. No, this son said, no, I will not. But let's see what happened to his heart and mind later. Afterward, he repented and went and worked. And so he really did, as he was asked, didn't he? All right, verse 30 now. And then the father came to the second son and said the same thing. And the son answered and said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. So then Jesus asked the question, now which of the two of them did the will of his father? And they answered and said unto him, the first. And wouldn't you? If someone presented this parable to you and said, what do you think? You'd say, well, yes, the first was the one who did the will of the father. So then Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And when you, after you had seen it, repented not, that you might believe him. So here is a very important key showing what it means to believe in God or believe in Jesus. Number one, it means that there is something to do. Number two, it shows that we have to follow what God says. And number three, it shows that we need to repent and turn to God. And that's exactly what Jesus said when he began his ministry. That is exactly what he told those who came to hear him. Because, you see, the whole way of Christianity is much different than a lot of people have ever thought or understood. And when Jesus came into Galilee, Mark the first chapter in verse 14, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the gospel is good news, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of the reign of God, the good news of salvation for us. And he's saying, the time is fulfilled. And according to the prophecies of the Bible, we are getting closer to the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Bible that have to do with the end times concerning this whole world. And the time is fulfilled. Yes, when Jesus came, the time for the first coming of Jesus Christ had been fulfilled. All of the prophecies relating to the first coming of Jesus Christ and his preaching and his message and what he did and what he said were fulfilled. And yet there are a lot of prophecies that apply from the time of Jesus' first coming to his second coming. There are hundreds of prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled, which are right on the threshold of being fulfilled as we are entering into the end times. And so if we could say any one thing today in relationship to our lives concerning God and Jesus Christ, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, the pages of the Bible reveal that the kingdom of God is near. The prophecies in the Bible show that Jesus Christ's return is very, very soon now. And so these words have more meaning to us today, more meaning in a prophetic way for us today than when Jesus spoke them and then when it was recorded in this book called the Bible. And he was saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so it shows very clearly that in order for anyone to believe Jesus, to believe the gospel, they have got to repent. Why? Because the way of mankind is contrary and against the way of God. And man has to come to realize that he has sinned. We've all got to come and realize that we have caused the death of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. Oh, yes, we're willing to quote the verse which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, yes, we're willing to read that and believe that and quote that and purr over it. But are we willing to live by what God tells us? Are we really willing to repent toward God? Are we really willing to get on our knees and ask God's forgiveness for the things that we have done, for the lives that we have lived, for the sins that have caused wretchedness and misery and anguish to ourselves and to other people around us? Well, you know, just picture yourself now. What if you were living during the days of Jesus? What if you spent a good part of your life following Jesus around? When you would hear him preach, when you would see him heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the thousands. And what if you were there in Jerusalem and you heard that Jesus had been arrested and you heard that Jesus had been taken out and was crucified after being beaten and scourged? And so you went out on that hill of Golgotha and saw Jesus Christ nailed to that cross, giving out his last. And you knew that something fantastic and dramatic was happening, something sad and wretched and miserable, because here is a man whom you had seen doing good. Here is a man whom you had seen healing the sick. Here was a man who was from God, and obviously God's Spirit was with him. And you heard the taunters standing by and saying, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself. You've saved others. Come down off that cross if you're the Son of God." And yet you could see Jesus there, giving out his last, even forgiving the ones that had driven the nails into his hands and into his feet, forgiving them, for he said, "They know not what they do." And your heart was heavy, and your mind was oppressed with the evil and wretchedness that was going on, and not realizing that you had your part in it, not realizing that Jesus Christ was made the sin offering for the whole world. And in sending the Son of God, who was God before he came to this earth as a human being, to have him die an ignominious and wretched and torturous death, because the wages of sin is death, and that there is a God of love who loves you so much, who looks down beyond the sins and wretchedness of this world and society and our lives, and gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe on him might be saved. But you know something? We have to do more than just believe. We have to realize that the life of Christ and the death of Christ were not in vain. And we have to realize, as the people who were there, standing, seeing this event, and then coming back to Jerusalem on the holy day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, and Peter and the apostles stood up and preached with inspired preaching and telling them about the Christ, telling them about the resurrection of Jesus, showing right out of the Scriptures that he indeed was the one that God had sent. And then Peter, in giving this sermon, he said, "Let therefore all the house of Israel know assuredly." Now, we need to think about this for a minute, because all of the sins of humankind are those that have killed Jesus Christ. Our sins did. Your sins did. My sins did. And so when we come to God and we repent, when we come to God and we believe, we see and we understand about our Savior Jesus Christ in a way that we are personally identified with His death, because God is saying to you that with the death of Jesus Christ, that He will pass over your death, the death that would be required because of sin. And so let everyone know assuredly, not just the house of Israel, everyone know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, were all of those people there crucifying Jesus? No, because Jesus died for the sins of the world, and it was the life and the sins of people that crucified Christ. And they understood that, and they realized that. Do we understand and realize that today? Are we willing to see and realize and understand that the Son of God gave His life for us and poured out His blood for us and became a sin offering and sacrifice that we could have access to God, that we could have our sins forgiven? Well, if you know and you understand that and believe that and live by every word of God, then you believe in Jesus Christ. And if it's something that you have never really heard quite in this way before, let's continue on and see what God shows that we need to do. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Are you pricked in your hearts and seeing and knowing and understanding that? How would you feel if you were walking along the highway and a car came careening down the road and a friend was walking right alongside you? And he pushed you out of the way so you would live. But unfortunately, the car ran over him. Now, what would you think at that moment? What would your thoughts and your emotions and your heart be like when you saw your friend, his insides splattered out on the highway and blood and gore everywhere, and you knew that just a second ago he was alive and that he gave his life to save you, that you could live? Now, how would you feel? Would you not be pricked in your heart? Would you not have some emotion and cry over that? Would you not understand that in your life, because he now gave his life for you, your friend, saved you from death, that you would make some amends in your life? That you would do something for his family, for his wife, for his children? Oh, yes, you would. And you would remember that the rest of your life, wouldn't you? And that's what we need to do with the understanding of Jesus Christ and his death for us. That's why when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And yes, when we come to understand about the sacrifice of Christ, when we come to understand about believing in Jesus Christ, what should we do? And then Peter said to them, "Repent." And yes, we need to repent. And that means to stop, to turn, to go from the way that seems right to us to God's way, to serve Him, to love Him, to really drink in of the way of God. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so when we come to the point that we believe in Jesus Christ, we must believe the gospel. We must believe the words of Jesus, and we must do what Christ has shown us to do. And in that repentance, then we need to tell God through baptism that we are going to walk in newness of life, that our lives are going to change, that our lives are now going to be oriented the way that God wants them to be. And that we say, yes, God, your will be done. Yes, God, I believe in what you have said. Yes, I believe in the things that you have told us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the words out of the pages of your Bible. And then he said, after you repent and are baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism means a symbolic death, that you are willing to die, that you would, as your friend who died for you, that you would say, oh, I would that it happened to me instead of him. And if we have that attitude, then God will let us die a symbolic death, buried in baptism, and raised out of that to walk in newness of life. And if Jesus Christ came and was a sin offering for all humankind, and we come to the point of believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we come to the point of wanting to get right with God, and we come to the point that we want to be baptized and live God's way, then there's something we need to know and understand. We are not to serve sin any longer. We are not to live in the way that we lived before. So believing in Jesus and professing his name is not just some sort of pseudo-religious experience that is kind of an emotional high that is temporary. No, to believe in Jesus is a total commitment in your life, a total commitment to serve and love God in every way. And in Romans 6, we're told what baptism means. We are told what it is that we are to do after we've been baptized, how we are to live, how our lives ought to reflect the Spirit and life of God in us. And the Apostle Paul wrote and asked this question, what shall we say then? That is, those who are Christians and understand about the kindness and grace and forgiveness of God for putting away our sins and not holding them to our account. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Shall we continue living the way that we have been? Shall we continue going the way that seems right to us? Shall we continue swearing and cursing and taking God's name in vain and bowing down to idols and breaking his Sabbath day and dishonoring our mothers and our fathers and lying and cheating and killing and stealing and coveting? And shall we continue to not have God in our lives? Well, the Apostle Paul answers the question, may it never be, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so it shows that in believing in Jesus Christ, we must keep his word. It shows that in believing in Jesus Christ, we must follow the way that God has shown. How can we live to sin any longer? How can we live to the sins of the flesh and the covetousness and the torment that comes because of breaking the commandments of God, which cost the life of Jesus Christ? Now he continues on, showing about baptism. Have you ever been baptized? Have you ever really believed in Jesus Christ as the Bible shows? Have you ever really accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and Master? Well, if you have, then you should be just as we have described right out of the pages of your Bible. The Apostle Paul went on saying, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Yes, that is, Jesus Christ took all the stripes and beatings and laceration and was crucified and strung up on that cross and poured out every drop of blood that he had and yet was perfect in his own life. That when we are baptized, the symbolism, we are baptized into his death. We are burying the old self. We are burying the old way that we have lived. Therefore, the Apostle Paul continues, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I think the thing that we really need to understand and realize is this, that Christianity is not a religion. It is a way of life. Believing in Jesus Christ is walking in newness of life. Is your life that way? Is my life that way? Are we headed and dedicated toward God in this way? Well, if so, then we believe in Jesus. If not, then maybe your belief in Jesus is not as it should be. Maybe your belief in Jesus Christ could actually be empty and vain and serve no purpose, and you could actually have a counterfeit. Even so, as he was raised by the glory of the Father from death, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's the whole hope of all Christians. They are looking to the resurrection which will take place when Jesus Christ returns. Now Paul continues on saying, knowing this, that our old man or our old person is crucified with him. And so it is a real dedication. We count ourselves, when we believe in Jesus Christ, to be dead. We count ourselves to be living this life in the flesh because of the grace of God, that we serve no more sin but serve the living God and serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master and Savior. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And that is only destroyed as we grow, as we change, as we overcome, as we inculcate into our heart and our minds and our lives and our being the very words of God, the very Spirit of God, the very belief and dedication in God, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. And yes, God shows we should not live and continue to live in the life of sin. Now, if we've been planted with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And so this is what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And there are other scriptures which can amplify and carry this out and show more of the things that we need to do. Yes, we need to seek God with all our hearts. And if you believe in Jesus, and if you want to believe in Jesus Christ, if you really want to find the truth concerning what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ, then you can write, and we will send you the answer of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And we know that we need to seek God with all our heart and mind and soul and being. We need to repent and be baptized. And if you have not been baptized, if you want to know and understand what repentance is and how you can repent and how you can be baptized, well, you just write me and you let me know, and we will make sure that that can be available for you and accommodate your desires and accommodate the things that God leads you to do. And then after you repent and have been baptized and believe the words of Jesus Christ, believe in the name of Jesus Christ, believe in the gospel that Jesus Christ gave, and then you live by the words of Jesus Christ. These are the things of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. And that is why the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. He said, I have written this book. I have written these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so this has been Fred Coulter on Bible Answers, and you tune in the same time, the same station, next week for Bible Answers. Until then, this is Fred Coulter saying, have a good day.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria. Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is U-Y-O, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.